Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Rose, do you know what today is? It is the last day of summer. That's right. It is Monday, September 22nd, 2014. That means tomorrow will be the first day of fall. We are live here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, live streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And we have podcasts and our complete show archive at my website, buckmastershow.com. That means that's available and up 24/7. So if there's any show you want to check out or listen to today's show at a different time, please feel free to do it. We'll get things rolling this Monday afternoon, as we do each Monday, with the Monday Political Face-Off. With me in studio today, commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, 30 minutes past the hour. Our candidate interview series continues. Today it's Doug Ducey, Republican candidate for governor. Then 45 minutes past the hour, an update from the Reed Park Zoo on Tucson's now very famous baby elephant. Some of the pictures have been going all over the world of our new arrival at the Reed Park Zoo. 790-2040, the Buckmaster Show live line number, and the Facebook page, Bill Buckmaster. Each Monday, of course, we do the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash is in his third term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Paul Eckerstrom, longtime Democrat Party activist, former state and local Democrat Party chair, and a local attorney who has been practicing law for several decades. How many?
26 years now. So almost
well,
three.
Yeah, almost three decades. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. I was over and saw the Moe family over the weekend, doing very well there. And of course, they do specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. I know that all three of us are football, college football fans. Bruce Ash has been going to University of Arizona football games since he was selling peanuts.
Yeah, I did. I sold peanuts there, and remember Byron used to sell peanuts and popcorn at the game, and he was like my mentor. Uh-huh. Popcorn here, popcorn.
Hey, I was in the knothole gang at age five.
Oh,
so.
Of course, the knothole gang. So yeah, we all like Arizona football. I think I saw my first Arizona football game in the fall of 1965 when I came out here as a 17-year-old kid from Chicago, who was terribly homesick, and I couldn't believe the leaves didn't change here. And oh,
you got
man.
Over it, though, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I did get over it and enjoyed it
usually
very much.
People do.
Yeah. But at that time, of course, we were in the, not the border, we were in the WAC.
The WAC, in the WAC Western Conference Athletic. In 1965.
But anyway, where this is going to, I can't ever recall a more exciting close to a U of A game. First of all, they got the onside kick. All that stuff kind of seemed to happen with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Then the Hail Mary. I don't know if anybody's done any research on this, but the percentage of a Hail Mary pass, last play of the game, being successful. I mean, I can only think, I think of that Doug Flutie catch, that last second catch. And I think Appalachian State beat Michigan at the Big House on a last second kind of Hail Mary. But would you say it's less than 1% of those are successful?
I don't know what it is, but it's pretty low probability. But when you got 0-0-0 left on the time clock, you need to do something. And that fellow who's our quarterback, I hope they're massaging his arm and his elbow
and
his shoulder.
He's a freshman. He's got 4 years.
He's a pretty unbelievable specimen. But, you know, in the first half, and I have to sadly
admit,
I left at halftime. he is quite an extraordinary athlete. And the receivers and Wilson, you know, who's the who's the running back. I mean, it's really, it's a heck of a team. You know, we could use a little bit more help on the defensive defense, secondary. Yeah. You know, they only made, I think, one touchdown in the red zone because all the rest of them were like, you know, 40-yard touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And amazing. The game got off to a real fast start. They ran four plays and had 14 points on the board literally before everybody got to their seats.
You'll probably you can never score, leave again at yeah. halftime, yeah.
When you can score 36 points in the fourth quarter alone, that's amazing. And they were talking about in the papers that this perhaps is certainly the greatest comeback the U of A's ever had, but perhaps it's the greatest comeback in college football of all time.
It might be 36 points like that.
Well, it was a pretty incredible game. I remember some of those whack games, one in particular up in Laramie, Wyoming, where we won on a last-second field mm-hmm. goal in a blizzard where the kid couldn't even see the goalpost when he kicked the football through. But it's quite a treat to watch these guys play. And for those of you who haven't been to Arizona Stadium in a while, it really has been fixed up. There's lots of new things there, and it's a great place to watch a football game.
And that offense—that offense certainly is entertaining. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing. Anyway, this is not the Buckmaster Sports Talk show, but I mean, although we could do a half an hour on that game,
I'd rather do a half an hour on football.
Now, I want to turn things to and ask Bruce if he's settled down a little bit. Bruce does a commentary that runs on this station, and last week he was fuming. I don't know if he settled down a little bit on the Metro Chamber of Commerce endorsements, Southern Arizona Business Political Action Committee of the Metro Chamber came out with some endorsements, and the ones for TUSD really, that's what got you going, isn't it?
Well, because so many things are happening that are so positive at TUSD, it's hard to imagine that the board president, who's been there for three terms and wants a fourth term, who can't even get the endorsement of her own party after her father probably made 30 phone calls and trying to get supporters to the meeting to give her an endorsement, wouldn't do it. It is amazing that this Chamber of Commerce, what they call the Southern Arizona Business Political Action Committee, which is the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. Sorry, Mike Varney and Robert Medler. I don't buy the BS that you're slinging around. this is shameful because everybody points to TUSD as being one of the things that detracts from economic growth, job growth in this town. And here they are. Giving a recommendation to re-elect somebody who has had the kind of failed tenure as Adelita Grijalva has on the board. She can't even get the endorsement of her own party.
What about Jen Darlin there?
Darlin is as far to the left as Adelita, and she didn't get the endorsement of her party either.
Paul, is Bruce making too much over these endorsements? You've gone over the list, and overall, it's pretty much R's and D's, evenly split perhaps. I didn't go that far, but it looks like it's spread around pretty good.
Yeah, and you have some legislative candidates that they endorsed on the Democratic side. You've got some statewides like Felicia Rodolini for AG and David Garcia for state school superintendent. I think, the whole thing with TUSA, by the way, Jen Darlin isn't far to the left. I know Jen Darlin.
Your sister's her campaign manager.
My sister-in-law.
Your sister-in-law, pardon me. And to make things worse, when she was interviewed by Tim Steller saying all those wonderful things about Darlin, she never bothered to tell him that she was the campaign manager advising her. So go there.
Okay. You know, every campaign has spokespeople.
Then she should have announced herself as a spokesperson.
All right. Well, Bruce, are you going to let me talk or do
sure.
I get to
don't
talk?
Go there. Come on, just talk.
Let him talk.
What I think the Tucson Chamber, which had always done just Republicans in the past, is starting to realize is that, one, the Democratic Party isn't anti-business and that we do want good jobs in this town. And the other thing is that I think they're realizing that education's important. Education is important to the state for economic well-being and being able to draw good people here to work as well as draw good businesses here to locate here. And a lot of the Republican Party has been so anti-Hispanic, anti-immigrant.
Stop that it. Stop it.
Wait. Let me finish.
That is a bald-faced lie. I'm not going to let anybody get away saying that Republicans are discriminating against Hispanics.
You can't say
that and expect to get away with it.
Okay. Well, would you let me finish, Bruce?
Please.
I was about to say that impression has left a bad taste in Mexican officials' mouths, and we depend on trade with Mexico in this state in a big way, and we always have, and we want to develop even more trade options with them. And until we get people in there who aren't so harsh with their rhetoric in terms of the immigration issues, then we are going to have a problem with the Mexican national government in terms of dealing with our economic interests together in terms of trade. And so I think the business community has recognized that the Republicans have gone too far on a number of issues, education being one of them and immigration the other, that they say, look, we want some more moderation, and if endorsing some Democrats helps in that regard, then so be it. And I think that it's a healthy thing for our political system.
Paul, I'm going to call to your attention on the topic of education, that there was no endorsement made for governor. If the Chamber of Commerce was so intended on supporting somebody who was for education, you would have thought that they would have gotten involved in that education or in that election. They didn't. They chose to endorse two people who don't even have opponents in the general election, Jeff DeWitt for treasurer and Joe Hart for mine inspector. I will also remind you
they endorsed Doug Ducey.
Where?
Yeah, I've got it right in front.
I have it right here.
Oh, well, what did I get here?
I don't know what you have.
I've got 2014 general election endorsements from the chamber.
I have this.
I've got this in front of me. And yes, they did. We'll double check that on another computer during the break. But first, Christopher has a question.
This is right off of their website.
Well, they may have changed it, but anyway, I've got it in front of me, and it was just printed out a day ago. But we'll double check. Christopher has a question for Paul.
Yes, Paul. After week, I keep listening to you espouse the talking points of how education is important and so forth, that the state legislature needs to fund education more than they have. And that may be true. I don't know. My question to you, though, is you sit on the left. Jen Darling's on the left. Adelita Grijalva's on the left. Would Jen Darling support 60 cents of every dollar of a budget, about $380 million to $400 million, depending on how you look at it? Would she support 60 cents on the dollar going back into the classroom, supporting the student? I know Adelita has been against that. I know the national average is 60 cents of the dollar, or excuse me, okay, 60 cents out of the dollar should go back in the classroom. And I think TUSD is roughly around 48 cents on the dollar. So my question to you is, will you press Jen Darling and Adelita Grijalva to support that?
Well, here, I'll tell you this. I support that. I can't talk for Adelita. I can't talk for Jen Darling. But let's make one thing very, very clear. What happens is there is a certain amount of money that has to go in every school district to buses, to things that are, I think, classroom-oriented, but are required by grants, by federal government, by state government, that has to go to certain things that aren't, quote, in the classroom directly to the teacher or the students in the classroom. And that when you shrink the amount of money a school district gets, when the legislature cuts, which we've taken heavy, heavy cuts over the last 5 to 6 years in our schools, when you cut down the amount of money total that they have, and they're mandated to spend money, let's say, on buses that aren't considered, quote, for the classroom, then the percentage is going to go down, too, in terms of what's going to the classroom. So my answer is fund schools properly. And, yeah, I'll press for anybody to then put it at 60% that goes to the classroom. But you got to fund the schools properly first before you can even get there.
Well, I will remind you, Paul Eckerstrom, that Mark Stegeman and Mike Hicks have attempted on four different occasions to propose a very slight incremental growth in the amount of money being spent in the classroom in TUSD. It's currently 49%. They propose that it get to 53% by 2017. And it died because there was no support from the Democrats on the board. So that's where the Democrats currently are today. That's where Adelita Grijalva is. And frankly, there was a 500-page audit done for Tucson Unified School District, and not one of those recommendations made in the area of accountability, efficiency, have been even implemented by the board.
Let me answer this.
We're way past the break. So.
In the 60s, we were at number 6 in the country in per pupil spending. In the 80s, we were number 26th in the country, right in the middle. Now we're dead last, and we took heavier cuts during the recession than any other state in the union. And none of it, hardly any of it, has been restored. And so my attitude is, you restore the money, and then I'm all for 60% going to the classroom. But you can't do it.
You can't do it.
You can't do it now because of the cuts that have taken place.
We're way past our first break, gentlemen. We're going to take a break right here on the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off. Be right back.
I would certainly recommend American Openings for anybody.
I had an idea of what I could afford, and the price of these windows is the best in Arizona.
He told us about the warranty and the process of the work.
American Openings were very courteous.
They did not have to go in and restucco anything.
They installed these in one day, and I didn't think it was possible.
American Openings had no gimmicks. They were great.
They really improved the looks of my home.
Two thumbs up.
The choice for replacing your windows is clear. American Openings, Arizona's window manufacturer.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Tucson Desert Art Museum. Tucson's newest art museum is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerville Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off, brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com. Bruce Ash is here, and Paul Eckerstrom. The headline in the paper a couple of days ago, Republicans troubled by independents' impact in the primary. Do you think the day may come, Bruce Ash, where independents will not be allowed to vote in the Republican primary?
Well, I don't know, but I think that it is proper for parties to want for people in their own parties to nominate their candidates for public office. And if folks want to register as independents, that's fine. But if they want to vote in a primary election, I think they ought to affiliate with one party or the other.
What do you think, Paul?
Well, this is a law that came in through an initiative in 1998 that allows independents to pick either primary to vote in if they want to. And since the independents now outnumber both Republicans and Democrats, I'm all for just keeping the status quo and letting them pick which primary to vote in. Because and I would encourage them to vote in a primary, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican primary, because that has a huge impact on who ends up in the legislature and who ends up in office. And so, I don't have any problem with that. I think independents are disillusioned a little bit with the party system because, frankly, the parties get more and more extreme as more and more people leave the parties. But if they would vote in the primaries, that would maybe bring back more moderation in our system, which I think is important. I think it's every right for anybody to decide which primary they'd like to vote in, because a lot of times in these districts where the general election doesn't really mean much because it's so heavily Republican or heavily Democrat, that the primary is where the election is. And I think it actually works pretty well where a person gets to choose which one they want to vote in.
General elections don't mean as much for Democrats here in the state anymore because the candidates generally don't have primaries. Republicans have had a vigorous primary challenge agenda for many, many election cycles, and there is a choice. Further, the division that Paul talks about has largely been caused by the not-so-independent redistricting commission that we have here in the state. There's only three competitive districts in the entire state. And as such, people don't come out nearly to the extent that they should in any primary. And in fact, independents rarely show up any more than about 50% of what Republicans and Democrats do. They show up when they want to. They show up when they have an issue. There's no independent party headquarters. There's no chairman of an independent party here in the state of Arizona. The Democrats and the Republicans have an entire party operation. They field candidates. Those candidates are held responsible for their action or their inaction while they serve the public. And certainly, Paul is completely correct. Independents have a right under our current state laws to vote as they please. But I'm not sure that that makes this a better voting environment. And I'm not sure that it necessarily helps us pick the best public officials.
Well, if the Republicans want to cut the independents out from voting in their primary, that's their business. I don't think the Democratic Party would support that for their party primaries.
The option to do that, in order for the GOP to shut out the independents, that would take a lawsuit. Is that the way that would work? Or
it would take action by the party, and there's no such action that's being recommended at the current time.
I think it would take either a referendum or initiative vote by the public, or a lawsuit that the courts overturn the 1998 initiative law that passed.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much. We're going to try to get back right here on time because we want to certainly hear from Doug Ducey, the Republican candidate for governor, who will be our next guest on the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And they are on Facebook. Moe and his team can take care of all of your framing needs. We're going to take our break here, and then we'll come back with Doug Ducey right after this. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A federal prosecutor says that investigators found more than 800 rounds of ammo, along with a machete and a couple of hatchets in the car of the man accused of jumping the White House fence last Friday. Massachusetts authorities say they've been told that three Afghan National Army officers they went missing during a training exercise are now in custody at the Canadian border. They say federal authorities are interviewing the officers at Niagara Falls. Authorities are once again searching the apartment of a man they believe is the last person to have seen a University of Virginia student before she disappeared. Stocks lower on Wall Street. The Dow down about 105 points. The NASDAQ is off 51. And the S&P 500 index trading 16 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Are you participating in the 2014 El Tour de Tucson, presented by Casino del Sol Resort? Well, head on over to Silver City, New Mexico on October the 4th for the 4th annual Desert Springs Physical Therapy Gila Monster Grand Fondo. It's the perfect tune-up for El Tour at 103 miles with over 9,000 feet of climbing. Once finished, participants can visit the Little Toad Brewery and Distillery in downtown Silver City for a discounted meal and a drawing for a stay at the Southwest Inn at Sedona. More information is at tourofthegila.com. That's tourofthegila.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Everyone is invited to tour Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson during its all-day 10th anniversary celebration Saturday, October 4th. There will be something for everyone, including live action in the surgery department and doctor dress-up for the kids. Plus, your tour pass doubles as a raffle ticket with a chance to win great prizes. Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, home of Specialty Vets for Special Pets. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Well, 35 now on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Between now and Election Day, we will have interviewed at least three dozen candidates for state and federal office here on the Buckmaster Show. Today it's the turn of Republican Doug Ducey, currently serving as state treasurer and a founder and former CEO of Cold Stone Creamery, which he and his partner sold in 2007. Mr. Ducey, of course, the Republican candidate for governor. Doug, how are you?
Good to be back, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, I think your vision, as you outlined in the Arizona Daily Star yesterday, they were comparing the Republican candidate, or actually the gubernatorial candidates for governor, on the economy, and you say the vision is pretty simple. What is that vision, Doug Ducey?
Well, our vision is opportunity for all. I mean, we believe in an Arizona that's growing, and specifically in southern Arizona, we were very proud of our results in the primary. We had an outsized margin of victory against our very competitive opponents, and that was because we spent the time down in southern Arizona, and we realized the needs are urgent and more specific, especially from an economic perspective. We also think education should be a place of opportunity for all. We don't want to see winners and losers in the classrooms. We want to see our kids learning things of value in these classrooms and getting a year of growth for a year of seat time.
You know, the Arizona Republic yesterday said that repealing Common Core standards would take some time. You and Diane Douglas, who will be on this program, I believe, on Wednesday, have come out against Common Core, correct?
Yeah, and Common Core is one issue in education, Bill. The real issue in education is what's happening inside these classrooms. Let's make sure that the resources are getting to our teachers so it can be supportive of teachers teaching and students learning. We're all for high standards. What I don't want to see are dictates and mandates from Washington, D.C.
There would have to be some standards, though, obviously. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. We want to have high standards in Arizona schools. We've got a lot to be proud of here in the state of Arizona. We've got 3 of the top 10 high schools in the nation here in our state. And I think we also want to have this idea of civics education inside our schools, which is something we're really underperforming at.
The media has been making a big deal, Doug Ducey, out of the fact that you and Fred Duvall, the Democratic gubernatorial candidate, have really sharp differences, and those show up in the debates when you all sit down together. But how would you characterize the sharp differences? Where do you see them?
Well, I think that's more on the media to do that. I think the biggest difference between my opponent and me are our backgrounds. I've been a businessman who's been working in the private sector for the past 25 years. Most people are aware of the brand Cold Stone Creamery, that it's an American success story, and it started right here in Arizona. And my opponent's been a special interest lobbyist who's worked in government and politics in Washington, D.C. Over the course of his career. So I'd say I come more from the perspective of I'm going to fight for the hardworking taxpayers of Arizona, of the families that are struggling in this economy. And I want to focus on results and outcomes. And I think that's the biggest difference between myself and my opponent.
Could you do anything right away as far as the regulations in this state? There was some talk about you would sign an executive order, actually a moratorium on new regulations that hamstring businesses.
Yeah, my first priority is to have our economy running at full strength, Bill. So part of that is our tax code. Part of that is our regulatory environment. And you can sign a moratorium, and I will sign a moratorium on day one in office as an executive order to have no new regulations going forward. They're a hidden tax on business. And I will tell you, I think part of the reason we had such success in Southern Arizona was our focus talking to the citizens down there, the leaders, the influencers, and the business people who said our needs are direct and urgent, and we want someone who's going to know that good ideas come from more than just one county. And you can tell a lot about how someone will govern by how they campaign. We have spent a lot of time in Southern Arizona during the campaign, and we'll spend a lot of time governing because I know that's what's necessary.
How about lowering or eventually getting rid of Arizona's income tax?
You know, I want a tax code, Bill, that looks like somebody actually wrote it on purpose. I think that our taxes should be lower, flatter, fairer, and a whole lot easier for citizens and business owners to deal with. So that's where we're going to start. My philosophy is it's the listeners' money. They earned it, and I'd like to see them keep more of it. I think that's the first way to grow a healthy economy. We've got a budget situation in our state right now, and I think there's no one better than a business person to deal with it. But as I talk about Arizona's economy, first and foremost, I want an economy where our local businesses are expanding and doing better. But I want outside businesses outside of the state of Arizona, to look to Arizona as the perfect place in which to do business. So part of that, of course, is a consistent, predictable, and ever-improving tax environment, and that's something that will be part of the Ducey administration.
Doug Ducey is with us, candidate, Republican candidate for Arizona governor. Have you figured out how many miles you put on your car since this campaign began?
We think it's somewhere between $40,000 and $50,000, but I'm going to have to go back and check the oil changes. We have been all over the state, and that's been part of the message, is in addition to opportunity for all, Bill, I'm running to be governor of all the people. In the rooms I'm in counties across the state, no one's happy with what's happening in our economic environment. Everyone believes there's room for improvement in K-12 education. And those are the types of fresh new ideas I want to bring to the governor's office.
What kind of a state treasury would you be inheriting as the state's chief executive? Financially, how is the state doing right now?
The state's had a tremendous financial turnaround, and people don't feel that economically, but it's important to remember that in December of 2009, we were bankrupt, insolvent as a state. We were negative $730 million in our checking account and not a dollar available in the rainy day fund. Today, we have over $1 billion cash in our checking account and $454 million in a reserve account earning interest. So we're in a much different financial position. I say the current governor came in at a time of great crisis. The next governor comes in at a time of great opportunity for our state, and I want to maximize that to the benefit of quality of life for the hardworking citizens of Arizona.
How about illegal immigration?
This is an issue that has been part of the political discussion in our state since I decided to run for public office the first time in 2010. And I think we still want to talk about a federal government that should be doing its first role, which is protecting its citizens. And I think by any measure, Washington, D.C. has failed Arizona here on our southern border. So I want to continue to talk about border security. I'm going to do everything I can as a governor around that, the restructuring of Department of Public Safety, the $300 million that's available there, and partnering with county sheriffs and county prosecutors so that we can focus on crime as it happens across the Tucson sector, drug cartels and human trafficking. But at the same time, Bill, I want to be very careful to deal with that specifically so that we can also maximize and improve and build our relationship with our largest trading partner, times four, which is Mexico. And that's going to mean relationships with the governor of Sonora, governor of Sinaloa, the president of Mexico, a trade office in Mexico City, and communication about how we both can better serve our citizens with dealing with the issues that we have in terms of the border.
Do you have any
border security?
Do you have any free time when you run for governor? I mean, is this like 24/7 or?
Well, as my wife Angela says, Bill, you volunteered for this, so I did sign up to do this. I was able to take my son Sam to hockey practice on, mm-hmm. on Saturday and spend some time with my my boys yesterday. But it's been busy. I mean, our problems are good ones. We're getting asked to get out all across the state and visit with people, and we're hearing some of the same messages around the economy and education. But no, it's been busy, and we're going to keep pouring the gas on. I mean, we're going to be in front of people in every part of the state and every county and making our case to Arizonans of every background.
And I know you like college football. Do you have time to follow the Buckeyes?
Well, I'm following the Wildcats, which great win on Saturday, of course. And we know the Sun Devils had a bye week.
Yeah.
And the Buckeyes finally got a W after that disappointing Virginia Tech game. So, but that's all via my phone. I'm not sitting in front of the TV getting to watch that. But, boy, the highlights on the Wildcat game were incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible, that Hail Mary. DougDucey.com to find out more information. Doug, thanks for visiting with us.
Thanks so much, Bill. I'll see you soon.
Okay.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control's patented foam treatment process. Trusted to rid the military base on Johnson Atoll of termites. Trusted by Tucson and Southern Arizona residents to rid their homes of termites. Locally owned and operated since 1980. We know what bugs you. Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Our president began working on an alternative termite treatment process in the early 90s. In 2001, we were awarded a U.S. patent for developing this new method to protect homes from termites. Five Star, leading the pest industry in innovation from right here in Tucson. 886-0045 or fivestartermite.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We've had rain here and they've had rain over in Silver City, and the bottom line is the Gila National Wilderness probably has never looked greener. It's so beautiful over there. Just 3 hours east of Tucson, and upcoming on October 4th, the big cycling event, the Gila Monster Grand Fondo, is coming up October 4th of the Tour of the Gila. And you can find out more about great places to stay like Casitas de Gila guest houses and things to do like the upcoming event on October 4th by visiting their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Jason Jacobs now joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Jason is the administrator for the Reed Park Zoo, home of the African elephant calf, now 1 month old, who will soon be named. In fact, you only have 24 hours left to make that vote, whether it's Mvula, which means rain in Swahili. Is that right, Jason?
Swahili. So it's a dialect from Swaziland, where the elephants are actually from.
And then Nandi is common name, I guess, in the Zulu language, meaning sweet or fun. And at this point, according to the contest, over 6,000 people have voted now on this, and it's Nandi kind of winning out 2-1. Is that the way it's going?
That is the official elephant naming update you just gave, direct from the news source. Yeah, no, we're excited that so many people are engaged in voting through the Arizona Daily Star's website. I think we're excited, really, about how the whole community, the buzz about this baby elephant, it's amazing. You've got to come out to see her sometime soon.
I am planning to come out to see her soon. And what are the visiting hours, Jason, to see the baby?
So until the end of September, our hours are 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., and the baby's usually out between 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and after that, she gets a little tired. She goes back into the barn with mom. And then October 1st, our hours switch from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. We're kind of over the really hot weather by October, so our hours do switch for the great season that we have, where we have the near perfect weather.
Jason, the publicity around the debut of this baby, who is weighing in now, I guess, at over 340 pounds, is amazing. the video has really gone all over the world, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. People were so excited, and our staff has been there every step of the way, from our keepers, our animal care managers, and the educators, to capture these moments that we can share them virally via social media networks like Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And people are just really excited about this, because we're getting a lot of our visitors insider access to see this animal up close through these social media channels. So they got to see the first time she went in the mud wallow, or the first time she was blowing bubbles. And it's really a great thing. And of course, people can log on to our website, reedparkzoo.org, and watch her on the webcam that we have driven every morning, so people can keep up with the baby and see how she's doing with the rest of the herd.
How unusual is it to have a baby elephant born in a zoo?
Well, this is going to be the only African elephant that's born in a North American zoo this year. So it is very rare and unusual. Certainly, as we've said many times, this is the only one that has ever been born in the state of Arizona, therefore making it the largest birth ever in the history of the state of Arizona. But it is unusual and rare, and it just shows the amount of dedication that we have to keeping elephants here in Tucson. And that really was because the city of Tucson stepped up to the plate to build a new elephant habitat with our partners, the Reed Park Zoological Society, and all the people who donated. And some of these donations were, you know, in the seven-figure range, but we had dollars and quarters come in from people who believe in us and our ability to connect our visitors with wildlife. We get over 500,000 visitors a year, and the majority of them, the only chance they're going to see an elephant, let alone a baby elephant, is right here in Tucson. And we're so proud we're able to share this herd with the community.
Jason Jacobs is joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line. He is the zoo administrator and has been. Over a year, right? Or
yeah, August 12th it was a year, and then August 20th I got a baby elephant. I shouldn't say I. So it's been a great year for me personally. I've worked in zoos since I was about 13 years old, and I tell people the highlight of my zoo career has been participating in the birth of this baby elephant. And really, I have to give all the credit to our tremendous staff, the staff and the volunteers who work 24 hours a day to make sure, you know, to watch the mother, to watch the baby with the rest of the herd. I mean, they do a tremendous job, and there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that people just don't realize that went into this birth.
October is going to be great for the zoo. You've got October 2nd, 7:30 in the morning, an elephant calf breakfast and talk. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's if you want to participate in that, you better get your tickets now, because I predict it will sell out, and we'll have some of the staff members there that you can interact with and get an early morning viewing of the calf. But for those of you who just want to listen and come on in, if you haven't been to the zoo for a while, we're open every day of the year except December 25th. The elephants get that day off also, like some other people. You know, it's really something special to behold, to come out and see this baby elephant in with the rest of the herd. It's a tremendous opportunity for everyone in this community.
Betty White was in town, is that true?
That was back in February, yeah, but she's definitely, I keep her informed of the baby elephant. She's a huge fan of elephants and a good friend of mine back from my days at the Los Angeles Zoo.
Okay, so we have the naming contest. That's to be the contest still about 24 hours through the Star website.
That's right. Get your votes in, either Nandi or Invula.
And then how about ZooCon? This is going to be a big kind of centerpiece.
ZooCon, yeah.
ZooCon.
ZooCon, that's coming up October 17th, and that's our landmark fundraiser that the Reed Park Zoological Society has every year, where we have the zoo open at night, and you can try some tasty bites from restaurants that donate their services, and then we have an auction for some really unusual auction items, you know, unusual and fantastic experiences here at the zoo. So you can find out more about all those events at our website, reedparkzoo.org.
How is the baby's health?
She has a clean bill of health. We monitor that all the time. We're closely watching her. And she, from all apparent signs, she seems very healthy. She keeps up with mom. She's nursing appropriately. She's developing like she should, so we don't have any issues at this point in time.
Yeah, she seems, from the pictures and the videos I've seen, to be quite an energetic young lady.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's funny when she's running alongside mom.
Yeah. Now, what about her first, the public got a chance to see her, actually, I believe, was it over the weekend, Friday?
Over the weekend, yeah. She made her public debut. We had over 3,600 people here on Saturday.
Wow.
And I would dare say that each one of their goals was to see a baby elephant. So
yeah.
We're making a lot of people happy right now. It's important. You know, elephants are facing a lot of challenges in Africa.
Oh, yeah.
They're being poached. I'm not sure if you've heard of the campaign 96 Elephants, but 96 elephants are killed each day for their ivory in Africa. And one of the special features of our exhibit is that people can come here, they pay their admission to come into the zoo. But we have an area of the zoo by our elephant habitat where people can make a direct contribution to help elephants in the wild.
Good.
We've raised thousands of dollars for those animals by acting, getting our empowering our guests to make a difference for animals in the wild.
All right, that's good news. Jason Jacobs, thank you very much. We'll see
you
at the zoo. Thanks a lot.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. That's going to do it for the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. And we will be back with you at 12:04 tomorrow. Of course, you've got Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe. And then For Tucson at 4 this afternoon with Mike Shaw. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brad, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.